Hi there, and welcome to this week's expansive podcast. We are super excited to be with you and for a change. Actually, my co-host and I, Eric, are in the same country, which is always a pleasure. And we always threaten to meet up for a paddle game, which never actually happens, which shows you that Eric is still scared to get into a paddle match with me. Well, that's a whole other episode. Welcome to The Expansive, where we talk about everything that makes you more expansive, both in your personal and business life. Eric, how are you, brother? What's happening, my man?
Yeah, dude. When are you going back to Dubai? Just tell me so I can get the dates
Monday,
in
Monday.
And we can...
Yes, Monday. We should.
You see? Nah.
Look, no. I'm coming back on the 19th for Astron Energy and I'm actually speaking in Somerset West. We should do it straight after that.
Oh, amazing. Excellent.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
I think we need to save the date. Yes. I want to have it live streamed. Okay. So
that's very confident of you.
We'll set up Riverside and we'll live stream on Facebook and X and Instagram and TikTok.
Talk about the most boring paddle game ever live streamed. But anyway, let's go.
But speaking of live streaming, did you see what they did with the tennis? Where some broadcasting company in Australia wanted to broadcast tennis, but they couldn't because of the rights that's assigned to it. So somehow they ported it to like Nintendo. You know those Nintendo's characters that play sport?
Yeah.
And so you could follow the games, but it's like watching the Nintendo version of it.
They did
so
that
they
with
got
soccer.
Around the rights. It's so smart.
I've seen that. I've seen that with a FIFA soccer characters watching a soccer match, but with characters from FIFA. Like what? It's like animated versions
so
of the
good.
Players.
Yeah, but it's so good because especially on the tennis, it shows the exact shots and how they're moving. Very smart.
So interesting. Well, so interesting that, you know, because soon enough with AI, those animations could be real, right? So it won't be an exact copy. It will be a replication of it that looks almost the same, if not exactly the same. But did you see recently what they did with the press secretary Donald Trump? They are changing the press room. And what they're doing is bringing into the front row. And she said, the front row is going to be replaced by podcasters. And she said, the media, the legacy media is over. And so we want to incorporate unfiltered, transparent media arms, and they'll be sitting in the front. And I thought to myself, wow, here we go.
That's crazy.
And the press secretary, it's crazy, yeah? And the press secretary said, Donald Trump has had, I don't know, 7 interviews, 3 this, 4 this. And she's like, do you know Biden had those like over 3 months? He's done it in 3 days. And you know, the level of transparency is unbelievable. Like some of the things he lies about, but I don't even know if he thinks he's lying. I think he in his own reality thinks he's telling the right thing. But dude, the Oak's moving fast and changing things up. And I love that podcaster in the front. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. I like it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's going to have a huge ripple effect, you know, because
of course
it really is pushing creators into the forefront. And we've known this for a while that the influencer economy is over, the creator economy is picking up, and more people want to get into the creator space. It's becoming more and more saturated as well. But at the same time, there's never been a better time for you to get into it because there really is a space for everyone in their own little niche and in their own little way. I've been watching these YouTube videos on gaming, but like gaming lore. Like, and this is going to just kind of prove my point, is a guy put together an hour and a half long video on the lore of a game. Do you know Street Fighter? You must know it.
Yeah.
It's like one of the most well-known games. So he talks about the lore of Street Fighter, going through every character and their backstory that he's pieced together through cutscenes and a little bit from here and a little bit from a comic. And that video has like 4 million views, an hour and a half that he put together, just following the thing that he's most excited and most interested in, which is this obscure Street Fighter.
Amazing.
You know, there's a space for everyone in this this economy.
As long as you're authentic, and authenticity actually makes you quite naturally unique, because nobody's authentic like you are in what you are authentic about. And so your uniqueness now becomes your currency. This is what I've been saying for years. It's like, who you are will become front and center of how you make money. And obviously the guy coming to Mark Sham's show, Devin Priestley, he's like personal brand.
Daniel Priestley.
Daniel Priestley, personal brand backed up by scalable business. That's exactly what you have to be doing. You see what Diary of a CEO, he's like launched into wellness, Whole Foods. They've got a range of products in Whole Foods now. So I imagine what's going to happen is all these big, big brands are going to start getting replaced by influencers selling things or thought leaders or, you know, these people that are in the sort of media eye much more than the sort of like Unilever and all those sort of brands that really don't have a good name out there, you know? So I think we're seeing a change in marketing and brand positioning.
Because there's built-in trust that comes with it. But also, absolutely, I think that when you're a creator, you are just more invested. I was listening to a podcast where they were speaking about Mr. Beast and his, what is it called? Feastables.
Feastables.
Yeah, Feastables. And they were talking about, so it's the My First Million podcast. And the one guy was saying he had an opportunity to invest into Feastables early on. And he declined to do it. I think the valuation when it just launched was like $40 million. And he had an opportunity to invest in that first round. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do it because most likely what he'll do is he'll launch the company. He'll be the face of it. He'll take a few pictures with it. He'll do a few launches and then he'll just kind of leave it. And he said that's the complete opposite of what happened is that Mr. Beast and Jimmy, like he knows the chocolate industry inside and out. He's invested so much. He's like, he's become the chocolate guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we'll see with creators is that influencers takes a picture of the product and then it's done. Creators, they are creating and they are using their brands then to create businesses off the back of that. And they are putting the effort into that business. And so it's a very different energy that comes to the product or to the business.
Is it almost like an employee versus a freelancer or an entrepreneur? Is that there's somehow the entrepreneur just has more responsibility and is more self-motivated, whereas the influencer is doing things on a shallow level in a way. The motivation isn't truly there. So like, they're getting a lot more stuck in. And look, even you and I, with our personal brands, we are putting out more and more content. I'm filming all those new documentaries. I'm like doing so many different things, like recording meditations, like just wanting to put as much content out there as possible to share what's going on in my life. And, Mark Sham's obviously really influenced me on that, seeing what he's done with media and how excellent he's been with it and what it's done for him and really putting his confidence and money into his brand before there was any feedback. And that's a lot, you know, there's really developed a lot of respect for what he's developed. And I'm so proud of him and what he's done, but it's also influenced the way I'm thinking about it. And so the more surface area you put out there, the more opportunity luck can find you on.
For sure. I think what he also does so well is that he just shows up authentically in every single piece of content. I was speaking at an event for Suits and Sneakers earlier this week, and he wasn't able to attend because he's in Zurich at the moment and they're about to give birth. And he recorded a video that was just played at the start of the event. And you can, like, just from that video, you know, there's so much energy and authenticity that comes from it that people are just bought in, even though they're sitting at an event watching this video of someone doing an introduction for the event. You know, usually you tune out immediately. And with this, I could just see people leaning in. And it's because he's built that relationship through the authenticity in how he comes across and all of it that he does. So, yeah, it was really good.
Well done, Shambles. Yeah. We're going to have Shambles on the pod soon. So once he's become a dad and settled, we're going to have him on the pod and he can explain to us what he's building. Because I think it's very unique to South Africa and how he's gone about doing it. I mean, we've both watched it from the beginning and he's reached that momentum and tipping point. And it's been interesting to watch him do it. And so excited to see what he does next. Okay, should we get stuck into today's topic? Or do you want to...
let's do it. No, I just wanted to say the event was great.
Yes.
Obviously, because I spoke there.
Obviously. But obviously. I saw how many social media comments you got about your talk. Jeez, man, it's nonstop.
It's been amazing. It's been amazing to get that feedback. Done. And I introduced, you know, the past year and a half has been quite intense from a keynoting point of view, where I literally don't think I've gone into a keynote with the same presentation twice. Because every single time it's been tweaked afterwards. And every single time there's slight detours that are happening. And it's not just small tweaks. It is structural tweaks that are happening. And so this was quite an important event for me because I introduced some big new concepts and ideas and big new structures and obviously it landed well. So very happy about that. And what I wanted to share today isn't actually in the talk, but it's a concept that I've shared many, many times that I always use in my keynotes and facilitations. And that I think is very pertinent for the time that we are in. Should we jump into it?
Let's go. I mean, tell us about the people that came up to you and spoke to you about how amazing the pod was.
Yes. There were lots of that. Lots of that happening. And dude, it's always just so great. People were like, oh, it's, you know, we listen to you all the time, but to see you in action and in flesh is so cool. And it's what we've always said, that those parasocial relationships that you listen to us, but then to all of a sudden have that person right next to you, you feel like you know them because you formed that relationship. So that was really cool.
Even the way they look at you is almost like my friend.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
exactly.
Hey, what's up, bro? And what's up? How you doing? Like a familiarity.
And also I feel an immediate bond with that person because I know they've spent so much time with us. I know the investment required. And they know us, you know, so they, because their energy is different towards us, like your energy is different towards them.
We are different towards them. Yeah. Well said. And that's such a smart thing. Yeah, of course.
And the one guy came up to me and he was like, I'm listening to the entire pod from scratch. And he was up to episode 70, which means that he only has another 180 episodes to go, which is also pretty insane.
That's a lot. And also, I think to let our listeners know before you kick in, is we landed our publishing deal today. We're lucky that we've had four publishers say yes to us. And every publisher we've actually pitched has agreed to do the book, which is really great because it just shows the momentum that we've built and something to be grateful for and really just be, I suppose, become aware of it and appreciate it. But this morning, we've decided on the publisher who's given us a great deal and we're looking forward to launching. It looks like we're launching in May sometime. So May and June, we'll be doing launches in Johannesburg, Cape Town, maybe Durban and Dubai. And so we're looking forward to launching the expansive book and sharing all the learnings that we've had on it. So looking forward to that. Listen, but why don't you kick it?
I think Durban, if you're listening from Durban, you need to write to us to motivate for why we need to come to Durban.
I mean, when I have done Durban, it's always been cool, but it's a chill town. You know what I mean? It's a holiday town. Yeah. Anyway, if Durban, it'd be nice to go to Durban. I mean, it's always good to go back to where you went to holidays when you were a kid and nothing changed.
When you were a kid.
Yeah. Everything looks exactly the same. Yeah. Okay,
right,
let's kick it.
Listen, so let's talk about the art of recalibration. I think the time that we are in, what has become quite clear to us is that we all have to become good navigators of change. And if you're going to be a good navigator of change, then you need a few tools under your tool belt. And one such tool is the art of recalibration. The art of recalibration is this idea that comes from aviation that says that when a plane takes off, it's always heading in a very specific direction. And if that plane had to veer off course by just 1 degree, then by the time it's traveled 60 miles, it's an entire 1 mile away from where it's supposed to be. And of course, the further this plane travels without course correcting, the further off course it goes. And there's a very simple port to our personal and professional lives that we all have a destination that we are heading towards, but very often because life happens to us, because we get bored or shiny object syndrome or distracted, we might slightly veer off course. And if we don't course correct, then we might end up very far away from where we want it to be. And so the art of recalibration is both a practice and a reminder that we have to constantly recalibrate and bring ourselves, our thoughts, our actions, our feelings back into alignment with what we are trying to achieve. And recalibration really has three components to it, and that we're going to take you through, are the three different aspects that you need to consider every single time you do recalibration. And then I'm going to give you an alternative perspective on this model as well. So the very first thing that we need to consider when we go through this process is that there's always a destination that we are heading towards. But this destination needs to be stress tested because just because you have a goal doesn't mean that that's the right goal for you. And the two things that I think you need to stress test is relevance and authenticity. So relevance, because the world around us is changing all the time. And a goal that you had last year might not be the goal that you have this year, purely because the world has changed. And, you know, we see every single day so many new technologies coming out. For example, this past week, DeepSeek has been on everyone's minds because it came out and it completely upended what we think about large language models and the training of it and the complexity of it. You know, it kind of changed how we...
I would have thought NVIDIA is all of a sudden like, hang on a second. And you're like, what?
$600 billion down. Yes.
But NVIDIA, like everybody was like, this is God's gift to the tech industry. We couldn't survive without you. To go from that level of loftiness and almost godlike syndrome to, your chips aren't everything. And there's other chips to use. Like, whoa, hang on a second. How quickly did that just swap? That was unbelievable. Unbelievable seeing that. Yes.
So we have to test for relevance and not just blindly follow the goals that we had before. The second test is a test for authenticity. So where relevance, I think, is more in business, authenticity is definitely more in your personal capacity. And the test for authenticity is just, is your goals your own? Are your goals your own? Because we all suffer from this thing called mimetic desire. And mimetic desire is that I mimic the people around me. I look at them on Instagram or even just our friends that are successful. And we go, I want what you want. And so all of a sudden, now you start working towards that as a goal. And actually, the moment you achieve that, you'll realize that this isn't what you wanted. It's one of the most difficult things to untangle. And I remember, I can think from my own experience, you know, it's a difficult thing to untangle to make sure that what I want is what I want. But I've also seen this in coaching, is that you need the awareness first off that this is happening, but then it really is this process of like sifting through what your values are and what does a good life look like for you and all these things to be able to split other people's desires and goals from your own.
Look, I think there's two things there. Just two things there. One is, I think the best way to do that is to achieve that goal. Because once you've achieved it, the clarity that it's the wrong goal is so it's so clear. You're like, oh my God, what was I thinking? It's so obvious, right? So it's like sometimes, yes, go. And then hit your head. You're like, oh shit, this is not really what I want. And there's a great book called The Second Mountain. And it's about, you climb the first mountain, you get to the peak and you're like, this is shit. What am I doing here? I killed myself to get here. It's terrible. And so, but the problem is to get to your second mountain, you got to go down a valley, which means that you have to go into a deep, dark space to now go up the second mountain. So looking for that authenticity is really trying to identify your identity, which is as closely linked to who you are as possible. And that's a difficult thing to do because you realize that many aspects of your identity are bullshit. Like just bullshit. You've trapped yourself into certain ways of thinking. You've capped yourself into certain ways of expectations. And so it's such a deep, deep process to achieve that level. But I don't think people should be worried about it because keep doing what you're doing. You'll hone in and fine tune the sensitivity to your authenticity as you start to achieve things you don't really want. And I think it's important to achieve things you don't really want because it gives you that feedback viscerally. And you're like, okay, this is not for me. Thanks very much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Was that both? Wasn't there a second thing?
Yeah. The first one was the book. I wanted to talk about the second mountain. And the second thing was, Achieve it. And then you find.
Is the second mountain, who wrote that? Do you know?
Yes. And I'll never remember his name. He writes for the New York. He's brilliant. He's like an old Jewish guy. And he's brilliant. I'm sure I've sent you some talks by him. Actually, let me look it up.
Okay.
He is excellent. And any one of his talks online, I watch immediately. David Brooks.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh, he's a wonderful, wonderful man. His talks are... Oh, they're emotional. He's so good.
I'm going to check it out. All right. So I agree with you on that. I think it's great to sometimes achieve that goal and then to realize that it's not for you. So that's the first part is stress testing your destination because it also doesn't help to be moving in the wrong direction slowly. We want to try and move in the right direction as much as possible. The second part, which is really the crux of this idea, is that irrespective of, like, if you, even if you fine-tuned into the perfect goal for you, it matches with your authenticity, it's very relevant, then there are going to be times when you drift away from achieving that. Your actions and your thoughts won't align with the path to get you there. And it's not a question of will you drift, because yes, you will, because you're human. The question is, for how long will you drift? How long will it take you to bring yourself back into alignment with what you're trying to achieve? And so what this really tells us is that in order to know that we are drifting, we need to cultivate self-awareness. And it sounds like that's pretty easy. It's maybe one of the hardest things to do, because firstly, we have usually a low level of self-awareness. In fact, research tells us that only about 14% of us have a high level of self-awareness. But secondly, is that once you are drifting, you know, if there are things happening around you and you are busy and you are being reactive, you are so distracted by all these things that you don't even realize that you are drifting. And so what's most likely is that you are going to drift and you'll keep drifting unless some big catastrophe maybe hits and that causes you to go, oh, geez, I need to come back into alignment. But very often, you know, for us to have the self-awareness to go, oh, I need to come back into alignment, is quite difficult. So there are two things that are important. One is that you want to have a practice of recalibration. So this just means carving out a bit of time where you can slow down and really evaluate whether you are on the right track. And this might mean sitting down and looking at certain behaviors and going, do these behaviors match with what I want to achieve? Or it could be a metric. It could be, oh, I'm supposed to put out 3 videos a week. I'm getting to 1 video a week. What is the recalibration that is needed to get back to my 3 videos a week? But the second practice is to identify a drift signal. So a drift signal is for you to kind of play or work with human nature. It is this idea that we can identify behaviors that tell us, so up front, we can identify this behavior and go, if I see this, this tells me that I'm drifting. So it's an indicator of drift. And an example of this would be, I know that there's a certain X, which is my best version of how I show up every single day. I know that the moment I get creatively tight in my thinking, that something's off. Now, before, I might just continue down this path and get more frustrated and more irritated and more tight and drifting further away, not getting to the things and the output that I might want. Now, when I see creative tightening, I go, okay, there's a recalibration that is needed. And that recalibration might be back to more input or more space or more walks the dogs, whatever it may be. But now it serves as a signal that something needs to change. Whereas before, I might have just gotten stuck in the experience. I think about this also in the context of the meditations from Joe Dispenza, that he'll often say in the meditation, it's like, you want to pay attention to the behavior that is going to make you spiral. Like, you want to know what that is so that when that presents in your day, you see it and you can go, oh, I'm going in a different direction. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Obviously, I think the difficult thing is to catch yourself. And what you and I discovered, and definitely for me, is that your body is addicted to that type of thinking. Even though your mind wants to switch it, your body's become addicted. And you don't realize that your body's become your mind and your body's making decisions on your behalf. And when, remember when you told me that we got to make everybody we're envious of online to be a dog? And my immediate response to you was, my brain says yes. My body says no, 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 no. My body loves that envy. It wants to stew in that envy and sit with it. And so it becomes this battle of knowing what you need to think about and doing that and overcoming your body's addiction and behavior. Now, the thing that we have to do is we have to overcome 3 things. We have to overcome our environment, time, and our bodies, because the environment has been programmed to feed back to us what we should be feeling. Because when we've made up our mind of who we are, we have decided what we think of money, of traffic, of weather, et cetera, et cetera. So when we get into those situations, we're not even thinking about how we're feeling in them. We've pre-programmed ourselves into the environment, triggering a certain thinking in us. The next thing we have to overcome is time, because when we become aware of this thing, we have to be able to be bigger than time, like move ahead and past it in time so that we can almost like skip it, because that what's that doing is rewiring our brain. And then our bodies is really the addiction of our body. So you've got to be aware on three different levels and be aware that it's not an easy process. But once you start to utilize the tools of mind, body, and behavior in those sort of time, environment, and body, you then start to holistically try to change it, because your body doesn't want to let go of it. As much as you don't like it, your body's addicted to it because of you, because of the habit that you've created. But yeah, I agree with everything you're saying.
And then the third aspect of this is that once you can catch yourself, is that now you need to recalibrate. And that's where change then comes in, because this is you having to change directions. This is you have to do, having to change how you think, feel, and act to come back into alignment with where you want it to go. And that's everything that we've always spoken about regarding change, right? That is how you overcome the resistance to change. That is dealing with the emotional signature of change. That is even having to overcome kind of societal structures, maybe, because, you know, sometimes our resistance to change comes from the people around us, and you even said here the environment around us. So I'm not going to go into much detail about that, but the recalibration aspect then is now you need to change. Now you need to put in the effort. So in a nutshell, that's the art of recalibration, is that you are able to sit down, you are clear about where you're going, you are aware of whether your thoughts, feelings, and actions align with where you're trying to go. And if not, you are able to catch yourself so you can recalibrate and bring yourself back into alignment. Now, what's quite important about this is to also remember that every time you do this, it's not about blindly recalibrating back to that destination. You know, that's why when I start this off, I said, it's about stress testing the destination, because otherwise blindly recalibrating isn't going to serve you very well. It's going to take you to a place that you didn't want to go to begin with, actually. So it has to be very mindful recalibration. But I think a great thing about this model is that you can also flip it, and there's a different interpretation of it, which is that if you look at that destination and you aren't happy with where you are going, then a 1 degree shift in direction takes you to an entirely new destination. And it's kind of freeing in that way, that when we think about change, it's often very overwhelming. And the world tells us, change quickly, make big changes, do it now. And actually, I don't think that's true. I think that there's always going to be a little bit of a lag, and that's fine. Like, you can change a bit slower as long as, and granted that, you are changing continuously. And so if you can make that 1 degree shift and you can continuously make that change, you'll do just fine. So in a nutshell,
long vision, small steps.
That's it. That's all you need. We don't have to buy, like, yes, the world is changing quickly, but you don't have to buy into the rush of it. You can still just be mindful and still get to the other side and have made the changes you want to make. I find this model to be highly useful, just in terms of, even just in essence, even just in the idea of make time to recalibrate and be mindful about your direction and your actions.
Can you give us an example? Can you give us an example in your own life? Like, give us an example of something that you've applied this to.
Jeez, dude. I mean, I can give you tons of examples. One that's like just very top of mind is I sit down at the start of the year. I write down all my goals that I want to accomplish. We are like in the 31st of Jan, right? Recording this. One of my goals is that I want to create X amount of content. We started this conversation saying, you know, we're both focusing on content this year. And that's going to be multiple forms. It's going to be a documentary that you're shooting. We're bringing out a book. We're actually both bringing out 2 books this year. I'm working on short form content, long form content, like there's a ton of stuff coming. But one of my commitments is that I want to get to 3 short form videos a week. And these aren't just regurgitated, you know, re-edited videos. These are like really thought through short form videos. And it's just 3 a week. That's my commitment here, 3 a week. What have I been putting out?
A lot.
1 a week.
It's a lot, bro. Yeah. 3 a week is a lot.
It's a lot. It's also not a lot. But so I sit down last week and I'm like, I'm busy going through my little process. And I'm like, oh, well done. You said 3 videos a week. You've been doing 1, sometimes 2 a week. Okay, time to recalibrate. And part of my recalibration was I created like what I call a hit list, and I've put it onto Evernote and into my to-do list so that on a Monday, it pops up and I can sit with my hit list and go, these are the most important things for the week. And it's the same every week. It's 3 short film videos. It's the Modern Leader newsletter. It's just all content really. And then at the end of the week, there's another reminder that says, did you get to it? And it's just a quick tick box just to go through. It's my recalibration process.
So beginning of the week, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Friday, yeah. You lazy shit. You lazy shit. You lazy shit. So that is your behavior. Well done. I've recalibrated and then uncalibrated and then recalibrated and then uncalibrated. Yeah, so the Friday reminder is to lash yourself for being a lazy shit.
Yes.
Yeah, useless. Yeah. Are we still human? That's good to know. It's good to know.
Yeah, so...
thanks for sharing those, Eric. Yes, they're very helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great. Always good to have a refresher on those. And I think the art of recalibration is adaptability and our ability to engage with information that we don't quite understand with optimism and curiosity and fascination. And all of that really lends itself to you becoming more emotionally fit and to have a better point of focus. Your focus becomes so important to what you're focusing on, how you're focusing in on it. That level of Jedi Master means you can focus your energy. That's really what it is. And most people don't have the opportunity or the know-how of how to focus their energy. Triggers are taking them away. Environments are taking them away. All sorts of different things are taking them away, right? So yeah, it's a real practice to bring that focus in. And we look forward to sharing you more of these sort of stories. Eric is going to be doing a masterclass on developing the skill for uncertainty. The end of certainty.
Mm.
Is that right?
The end of certainty and what to do about it.
So we'll be doing a masterclass on that soon as well, which I'm really looking forward to. This is the talk he gave at Suits and Sneakers, which was very well received. It was definitely your talk because that outfit was your dad's clothes. What were you wearing, bro? What was the story?
I stepped out of a Ralph Lauren catalog. I think that's what you are trying to say. Looked like total old money.
Where were your sneakers? You're wearing like smart shoes.
I've never been able to do the Suits and Sneakers vibe. I just mean the...
You talk shit. I've seen you in Suits and Sneakers.
I don't wear suits and sneakers.
You look great.
I don't think I've ever done
bro,
that.
Bro, you wear those white shoes? Yes, you have. I've seen it. I've been there. What are you talking about? Stop coming here. Come getting clever. I saw it with my own eyes. All right. And I'm watching you. Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us for this week's pod. It's been great to have you along. Please do go leave us a review if you've enjoyed the pod, and please do share it to somebody you think who could benefit from hearing it. We look forward to sharing the dates with you for our book launches, and we look forward for you to joining us next week. Until then, stay expansive.
Goodbye.